promises won't let go of me. Shining bright, and it just won't stay, 'cause your love is alive, and it lights my step. My heart is amazed every day to the next. The joy of the taste that I can't forget about it. Your love is alive and it lights my step. My heart is amazed every day to the next. The joy overtakes and I can't forget about it. Joy overtakes and I didn't forget about it.
So glad to see you this morning. I believe we've got a few folks back from vacation because school is in session, and we're so, I see some happy parents' faces, and I hope and pray it's been an excellent first week and that this is an excellent school year. We're going to have a special prayer about that in just a moment. Got some things going on. Hog on the Hill, October 15th. Be there or be square. And be thinking about how you're going to be involved, because to do a great community-wide event like this takes everyone's participation, and there will be lots and lots of things for you to do, set up, take down. We're going to have a cookie contest this year, and so you might be thinking about that special recipe that will win the prize. So I hope that you'll be prepared and start telling your friends and neighbors about this event. Stone Soup. Always a very special mission Sunday for us in the life of this church. Next Sunday, it does meet at Quapaw Quarter downtown, and we begin at 1:30 and wrap up around 4:30. But it's such a special time to reach out. Now, this is huge. Somebody else says the word huge a lot, but this is great. ACCDC, next Sunday, we are going to observe their 30th anniversary of a program that just keeps getting better and better and larger and larger. And just for the fun of it, I want to see the show of hands of those of you who are graduates from ACCDC. Well, Brian, bless your little heart. Baker, you did not graduate, but your kids did, and that counts, absolutely. But anyway, this is going to be a joyous time, and next week I want you to be sure and come during the fellowship time and just welcome our teachers and staff and our director, Aura, and just give them a pat on the back and say thank you for all that you've done and are doing for the children in West Little Rock. So we're very grateful for that. Asbury's closeout sale, the youth are having clothes for sale. And they're actually wonderful Asbury monogrammed shirts that are available. So see Amy. Amy, where are you? Oh, Amy. Okay, well, there's a youth back there, and they'll help you with that. There you go. There are your hands, your beautiful faces. All right. And then we have a cutest baby contest winner. Mom, Dad, come up here. Brian and Lauren. The parents of the cutest baby.
Somebody had to put some money in that.
Yeah, I didn't put enough in for Lane Austin. All right, thank you all. No, that wouldn't be fair. I do hope that you will take a moment to turn around now and greet everyone in the name of Christ, and don't forget to sign those attendance pads. Thank you. I'm so glad you all are having a good time visiting with one another. But if you would be seated, please. We have a very special presentation by our youth.
My name is Amy Shores, and I'm the Minister of Youth and Young Adults here at Asbury. And I want to take this time to tell you guys about the summer that our youth ministry has had. It's been a very busy summer. We've done lots of trips and activities, and I'm actually going to let the students tell you in their own words about what we did this summer. But before they talk, I would like to, first of all, thank you guys for all the financial support that you've given, because it definitely takes a lot of financial support to be able to do what we do. And also ask that you all be in prayer for how you can get involved in the youth ministry. We need Sunday school teachers, we need teachers on Sunday night and Wednesday night, we need sick and adults just to be in there and help with Safe Sanctuary, and we also need adults to go on all of these trips that the youth are going to talk about. Please be in prayer as to what your part is in the youth ministry at Asbury, because everyone has a way that they can get involved.
So at OMP this year, I was extremely excited to go because I had never been before, and everybody that had been said it was great and they always had a great time. And the worship services that we had every night were great, the songs that were new.
And we had these family groups, and we were like a family because we spent so much time together over the week that we got to know each other.
All right, so at OMP, my project was painting this 200-yard fence, this other lady's house, and we did a bunch of yard work, got to play with some cool brand new electric tools, chainsaws, cut some trees down, and then she had this old cellar with a rusted door, so we took that off and then built a new wood one and put it on.
OMP is a mission project in Arkansas where we go to a different church somewhere in a different city usually, and we go to serve others in that community, and we're with a family group, and we go to their house, to a person's house, and do different types of jobs there, like a wheelchair ramp or a porch or even just yard work, and we get to talk to that neighbor and just spend quality time with them.
The work at OMP is, it can be hard, but you got other people there helping you, and it's hot, but it's not that bad. Once you're done and you see how happy the people you did it for, how happy they are, it's just great.
This year we went to San Antonio on a mission trip,
There were about 5 people that went with us. In the mornings, we would go to a different place every morning, and then in the afternoons, we would go to the same place. And at the Battered Woman Shelter, we sorted clothing. We also sorted hair and shampoo packets for people, because at Travis Park, they let people shower there, as well as eat food in the afternoon and have worship.
And we had to pack lunches for
My favorite project was the diaper bank, because I'd never seen a diaper bank before, so it was kind of cool to see how the diaper bank worked. And moms could come there and take like these classes, and with the classes you can get like the little diaper kits and stuff, so I thought that was pretty cool.
My favorite part was the car wash, because there was cars coming and I got to like wash them and tell what they needed done. So money that we raised went to OJOT Mission Project trips.
I like coming to youth because they have good food, good lessons. My favorite lesson was whenever we talked about Boulevard of Broken Dreams, because it's a relatable song.
Assembly is like a giant youth gathering at Hendricks College in Conway, and it's basically like we split into different groups and we have worship and we get to know each other in our groups. My favorite part is probably meeting all the new people in our groups and just like going around Hendricks. That's a lot of fun.
So the Hendricks Youth Institute is a program at Hendricks College that gives youth around the jurisdiction a chance to learn more about ministry and figure out what kind of place of ministry they'd want to be in whenever they become an adult. And then we went to a school down there on Eleuther Island and did a day of VBS with the kids there. And then after that, we ate lunch with the kids, and then we went to this really beautiful beach. Well, based on what I learned, I believe that my place might be in youth ministry, but I'm not really sure yet. I'm still looking into it.
So Youth Praise Band is a select group of youth members who play music for, like, on fifth Sundays or for youth Friday or Sunday nights. I enjoy it because, like, we all get to learn new instruments. We all get to, like, change and understand everything and, like, have fun about it.
Hey guys, so that was just a video of what some of the things that we did this summer. And Amy is at the other service right now and she's talking, so she sent me up here to talk for y'all. So that's most of the things that we did this summer, and all of it was pretty fun. I went to San Antonio, OMP, Assembly, that was one of all of them, basically. And it was really fun. So Amy wants to know. She said that she needs some Wednesday night help and also Sunday night dinners. So if y'all are willing to help with that, that would be great. And also if y'all come just to have fun, it's really fun. I love youth. So just come if y'all can and talk to Amy if you're interested. Okay, thank you.
With all my mind, with all my with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength.
Love, my Lord, I pour at your feet.
myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee.
Amen. So did everybody start school?
Yeah.
Is everybody happy about it?
Yeah.
What's up? Are we all here? Okay. So everybody knows what this is.
Yes.
Does everybody have one?
No.
No.
I have a fire.
Do you?
My dad gave it to me for Christmas. I have a fire.
Okay. I don't really like them a whole lot. I think life was better without all this stuff, but, you know, I'm old. But, so it's a cell phone, and scriptures, Jesus called out to them, "Come follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." Matthew 4:19 says, the telephone. I don't know how we would get along without it. It's so important to us in our day-to-day life. We use it to stay in touch with friends and loved ones. We use it to make appointments. We use it to order pizza. What else? What can you do with your phone? Play games.
Just have fun.
Text.
Watch
YouTube. You're right. All of that. It's amazing, isn't it? Most cell phones will do much more than just make a phone call. Some will let you send text messages and email. Some will even let you take a picture and send it to a friend. One important feature of today's phones is that a friend can call and leave a message. When that happens, your phone lets us know by saying, you have a message. One thing that really bugs me is to call a friend and leave a message and they never return my phone call. What kind of a friend would do that?
I don't.
A mean one?
A fake friend.
A fake friend. You and I have a friend who has left us a message. He has invited us to go fishing with him. Oh boy, I love to go fishing, don't you? Anybody love to fish? I really don't like to go fishing at all. Not at all. You think it's fun? I wonder if you can guess who that friend is. You think so? Our friend, Jesus, left us a message that he wants us to go fishing with him. This fishing trip will be quite different. Instead of catching fish, Jesus has invited us to go fishing for what?
People.
People. Jesus. And what?
Miracles.
And miracles. Jesus didn't leave his message on the phone. He left his message where? In what?
In your heart.
In the Bible. One day as Jesus walked along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew, throwing a net into the water because they fished for a living. Jesus called to them, "Come follow me and I will show you how to fish for people." The Bible tells us that they immediately dropped what they were doing and followed Jesus. As Jesus, Peter, and Andrew walked along the shore, they saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in their boat mending nets. They called and invited them to come along too. They dropped their nets, left their boat behind, and followed Jesus. If you have ever been fishing, you know what a thrill it is to land a big one. Can you imagine what a thrill it is to go fishing for people and to help someone else come to know Jesus and become one of the followers? Even though this story in the Bible is about Jesus calling the first disciples, it is for us too. It is a message from Jesus that he wants us to go and make disciples. Will we return his call? What will our answer be?
Yes.
Let's pray. Dear Jesus, just like Peter, Andrew, James, and John, we want to join you and go fishing for people. Amen. I think Miss Sherry's in the back.
Congregation, I would invite you to turn to your bulletin. There's a special back-to-school litany prayer that I would like for us to do before we go into our pastoral prayer time. If you'll follow in the bold, let us join together as we pray for our young people, teachers, administrations, and all those in learning. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we begin this new school year, we give thanks that you have given us the ability to learn many things in many ways. We recognize learning is a gift from you, O God, as the Bible teaches us that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature. We pray, too, that you will bless our schools and teachers, administrators and students, classmates and friends, and school workers in all areas. We thank you for our Sunday school teachers and their love for sharing God's word, leading discussion, and supporting students, both young and older. Loving God, thank you for our minds, bodies, and souls, that they may be filled with your good things, your special blessings to be better kingdom people. In your holy name we pray. Amen. As we continue in our pastoral prayer time as well, please turn your attention in your bulletin to those persons that we want to lift up in prayer. Mary Wolf, Laura Stinnett, Beth Culbertson, Mildred Bradley, Patty Wilkerson, Caroline Tatum, Emily Evans, Betty Watt, Charlie Ward Sr., and Vicki Logan and Dave Olson in the death of Vicki's mother, Betty Bayless. Let us go to God in prayer. Most loving Father, we do come before you and lift up these names of members of our church family. Some we know well, some we do not know so well, but nonetheless, we are family. Because we are all brothers and sisters, sons and daughters in our faith in Jesus Christ. What a privilege, what an honor it is, O God, that you claim us and you are our Father. And O God, where do we begin in the events of the last few weeks? If we just focus on the violence, if we just focus on the conflict, if we just focus on the tragic deaths of the innocent, of the perpetrators, and of the officers trying to protect all, then we miss you. Because we are human, it is hard, God, to find you in the midst of violence and tragedy. It's hard to find you in our humanity because we know you to be so divine. And yet, you desired to be human. For you came to us in the form of your Son. And so we know that you are fully human and fully divine. And because you are fully human and fully divine, you feel the tragedy as well. You feel the hurt. You feel the angst. You feel the disappointment in the response of your children. And, oh God, as we may feel so limited in what we can do to personally make a difference, help us to remember that our prayers make a difference. So may we never give up. May we never be lost in the sea of futility or of apathy and not pray and not do what we can in our daily behavior and our daily living as we represent Christ to offer acts of peace and justice. Perhaps the most profound way is in our words of quiet hope, our actions of kindness and love. And even when we find it difficult to tolerate unfortunate things that are said or done, help us to just pause before we speak and ask the Holy Spirit to tell us, what would Jesus do? So we come today and offer this heartfelt prayer as people who sin, but people who are forgiven by the blood of Christ and by our faith that we are saved and in our hope that we can do better. And in our conviction to sin less and to love more and to find our strength and power in Jesus Christ. We do pray for those who are struggling with recent death. We ask that they feel hope and the joy of their loved one going home. We pray for those who are far away and near, who are doing all they can to protect us and keep us safe from harm. And we pray for those who are lost. May we do what we can do to bring them to be discovered in Jesus Christ. So we offer this prayer in the name of the one who taught us to pray beautifully and completely. In this prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare to offer our gifts in the name of Jesus Christ to glorify the kingdom of God, I would invite you to begin thinking now and planning now how you are going to practice greater stewardship in the coming year. I was thinking about it. There's things we'd like to do in the church, but sometimes limited funds prevent us from doing those great things. I think if we all look at our hearts, even if we're on limited incomes, or even if our incomes are on commission or are varied from month to month, I think if we all look in our hearts, we could find a way to just at least increase by $100. I ask that the Lord place upon your heart something that you personally can do in money and in ministry to bring people to Asbury and to help them enjoy the wonderful fruits of being faithful disciples. And we saw a wonderful video just a moment ago of ways that we can support and nourish the next generation. Let us pray. So gracious God, you have given us such great abundance in all of our blessings of life. We pray now that as we share a portion of that abundance, that you will do miraculous things with these gifts as you are known to do, that people will know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by our faithfulness to his kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. come and blow. I'm through. Spirit, move. We're ready for you. So come and blow. I'm through. Come and do what only you can do. So come and blow. So come and blow on through. Come and do what only you can do. We're transfixed on this one thing, to know your goodness, see your glory. We're transformed by this one thing.
Beginning a new series, Back to Class, Back to Church. I want to share with you this morning from the Gospel of Luke, 6th chapter, verses 12 through 19. I pray that each of you are blessed by this reading and hearing of God's holy word as we find it in Luke 6, 12 through 19. In these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, whom he named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and Andrew his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon who was called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all of Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came forth from him and healed them all. The word of God for the people of God. Many young people have gone back to school this week. There's a story of a first grade teacher who was watching the clock on this first week of school, and naturally it had been raining that day. And so as it was getting close to three, she had the kids line up and get their raincoats and their galoshes. And she helped each of them put on, and there were 30 of them, 30 pairs of galoshes, 30 raincoats. She came to the final child and pushed and tugged and pulled some more to get those galoshes on, only to have the little boy tell the teacher, after she had struggled to get them on, "Teacher, these aren't my galoshes." And she looked around at all the students. And then she looked around at the little boy and threw her hands up in the air. And she said, "Well, whose are they?" And he said, "Well, they're my sister's, but I've got to wear them." Think about with me your first day of school. Do you remember what it was like to go from kindergarten to first grade? Do you remember the excitement of that, as well as maybe a few little butterflies of fear? I remember the first day of going to first grade simply because Mother took a picture of me all dressed up in my little dress and my shoes and my ruffly topped socks. and the red plaid satchel. And you can see in the picture that I'm pretty excited in my face, but you can see in my eyes yet just a tad bit of fear. Then there were all those days of transition into school with each phase of growing up. There was elementary to junior high to high school then graduation and preparing to go off to college in another state, and then going off to graduate school in yet another state. And with each one of these changes, these transitions, I looked forward with anticipation what the future held, and yet still experienced that bit of anxiety of the unknown. And then I grew up and the changes got tougher. Suddenly I was moving from town to town with my family, with my girls, that it was difficult as a United Methodist pastor in the itinerant program. And something that I learned with that was that being a United Methodist minister means there is no routine. I mean, I've always said I do my very best to plan my days, but my days have a way of planning me. For instance, this past week I had not one but two death calls. Death doesn't wait. When God's ready to call you home, you go. When a United Methodist pastor is called for someone in need, she goes. A long time ago, there was a preacher. He had a plan. It was God's plan. His name was Jesus, and he was God's son. He was on a mission to spread God's love, to draw people into understanding God's love, to call people unto repentance, renewal. His gift, eternal salvation. But now, to go forward in that mission of love, repentance, renewal, Jesus was going to need some help, and he knew that. And so he went off to pray, and he prayed a long time. And then, just as he had been raised in the Jewish faith and was well aware of the history of the 12 tribes of Israel, Jesus selected 12 disciples, 12 learners, 12 students. He chose them very carefully because they wouldn't remain in student mode forever. They would transition from disciples or students, learners, to messengers and apostles. Now, these 12 men were doing what 12 men would do in first century. They were doing their best to make a living, to eat, to provide, have shelter, to thrive. The Bible tells us that James and John, sons of Zebedee, were fishermen, as well as Andrew and Simon, also known as Peter. And then the Bible also tells us that Matthew was a tax collector. And as far as I recall, those are the only five of the 12 that we know exactly what they were doing for a living before they became one of Jesus' disciples. But again, if you look back to the typical kind of trade or job a man would have in that era, you can surmise that some of them perhaps did a little bit of farming, shepherding, or some kind of trade. Jesus approached them, and there was something in his demeanor, something in his posture and stance of authority, something unique about him, that when he said, "Come, follow me," they did. They left their homes. They left their relationships. They left their way and form of living. They risked it all and followed him. Now, we read that and we go, well, yeah, if Jesus came knocking on my door, I'd probably follow him too, right? But they didn't really know who Jesus was as you and I know who Jesus is. So imagine the courage it took for them to make that kind of change. There's something I've learned both personally and objectively. People make change for two reasons. Because their eyes have been opened and their hearts have been broken. But as our students going back to class this week, or perhaps going back to college soon, understand it's not enough to attend. You've got to be open to absorb, open to learn, as all of us do, to connect with a learning experience. And there's going to be that one moment when you connect like never before and a light bulb goes off and suddenly you realize, oh, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is what makes my little heart sing. This is why God created me. This is what I am purposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to be about. What I'm supposed to do. Realizing your purpose is a very powerful thing. Go back to the story of Esther. And if you haven't ever read that story, it's not very long. Please go back and read it. Just very brief synopsis. Esther won a beauty contest and gained the favor of King Xerxes, Persia. And Esther was mentored and kind of groomed by her older cousin Mordecai. Now, they were Jews, and there was a nobleman in the palace of Xerxes named Haman, and Haman had plotted a plan to annihilate the Jews, and he didn't like Mordecai at all because Mordecai refused to bow down to him, because Mordecai knew what Haman was all about. And here, the wife of the king, who's about to annihilate the Jews, is a Jew herself. And she goes to Mordecai and she says, what should I do? And hear the words of her wise cousin. Think not that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the Jews. You and your father's house will perish, but who knows that you have not come to this kingdom for such a purpose as this. And Esther found a way, an ingenious plot to save the Jews. Purpose. Learning. Jesus handpicked the disciples. But as disciples, they were learners and they were students. And the first thing they were going to have to do was learn the new routine. What they would soon discover is that in becoming a disciple and follower of Jesus Christ, there is no routine. As disciples, you and I are subject to the Spirit to teach us what to say and how to say it. And if we don't go in prayer to the Spirit before we are about to say or speak or do something, then we may make a misstep. The disciples followed Jesus' call to come follow me. And hear what this says again. He came down from the mountain with a great crowd gathered and people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, and people with diseases and unclean spirits came to be healed and cured, and the crowd sought to touch him, for power came forth from him and healed them all. That was on this side of amazing. The disciples, don't you understand, a good day for them up until this point, a good day for them had been a large catch of fish or selling a lot of their goods. But that had all changed. Now a good day for them was just following and watching this Jesus at work. They were mesmerized. They were awed. They knew they were witnessing someone and something special. For now, a good day was seeing hundreds of people who had come with bodies that were falling apart, diseases which made them outcasts, all kinds of problems. And now the disciples would see them leave after being with Jesus after this encounter, and they were whole and well and healthy and happy again. And secondly, the disciples and learners were going to have to trust their new teacher. Our kids back in school, they're facing a whole lot of new teachers perhaps, and they're having to learn to establish trust in that new teacher, establish relationship. The disciples, they were just fine until Jesus. They had learned to read the wind. They had learned to look at the sky and be able to tell what time the day it was through the setting of the sun. They were able to understand what seasons it was based on the moon. They had learned the hard way where to fish, what kind of bait worked best. They'd learned a little bit about marketing to know about when to sell the goods and what kind of goods the people were looking for. But this Jesus, they could not figure out. Haven't you always relied on your intuition? You have a new leader. You have a new teacher. And your first impression perhaps needs to soften a bit. And so you just are patient, and you just kind of wait and see what they're about, and they kind of get to see what you're about. And then before you know it, that first impression has gotten a little better. Your teacher grew on you, and you grew on them, and not always, but over time, usually a comfort level was better. But look at these new students, these 12 disciples. They did not realize that they had been chosen for this mission. They did not understand who this Jesus was that had called them from their life before. They thought he was a great prophet. They thought he had exceptional supernatural powers. They didn't understand. And something else I've noticed. When you don't understand someone, it's nearly impossible to trust them. I watched a movie this past weekend, and I wouldn't recommend it for the prettiest language. I wouldn't even recommend it for the greatest morals. But it intrigued me. The movie's called Blind, and a socialite woman has gotten caught up as an association, basically, to her husband's inner trading scam. He goes to prison. She gets off with community service. Community service is assigned to read to a blind man. This blind man is a novelist. On first impression, they hate each other. He assumes and sees her as the socialite with the 10-carat diamond on a ring. She views him as a blind person that, in their defensiveness, has learned how to bully. So as the movie goes on, you can pretty well guess the plot. They end up appreciating each other, accepting one another. But it didn't start out that way because they didn't understand why they were the way they were when they first met. as you think about it, the disciples really didn't understand this Jesus. They didn't even trust him. And yet they'd left everything for him. Remember the storm? Jesus goes to the other side to rest. It's been a long day. They're out in the water. They're struggling with the boat. And they call out, "Jesus, save us." And he starts walking on the water and he comes to them. And they think he's a ghost. And you know the story. He stretches out his arms over the seas. And he says, "Peace, be still." And the waters calm. And the beating of the hearts of the disciples calm. And you can see them just kind of scratching their heads going, "Who is this man that even the winds and the sea obey him?" They're out walking one day. They pass a fig tree. It doesn't have any figs and they're hungry. Jesus decides to teach an object lesson for the disciples who are students to learn. And he says a word and touches the tree and the tree withers. And his object lesson to them is not, "I'm going to hate that tree forever," but it's, "You too, if you don't bear fruit, are going to be lifeless and waste your life." Another time they're walking along the seashore and they've got a problem. Their problem is they've got to pay the citizens' tax. Even they who didn't have jobs had to pay taxes. And so Jesus says, "Okay, y'all go out along the seashore here. Cast the first fish you bring in. Open its mouth, and you'll find a large coin. And that will be enough to pay the tax that is owed." And the third and final thing is, when we're attending this school called life, we better be open and submissive to the Spirit as we are learning to make new friends and gain new experiences. Think about it. These were 12 strange men. Now, some of them knew each other and knew each other very well because they were brothers, but not everyone. And so suddenly they were all thrown together, all kinds of personalities, all kinds of life experiences. They were thrown together and they had to get along because they were all ways together. They didn't have a choice. Just like the students in their new classroom with their new classmates, they don't have a choice as to whom they are going to be associating with day after day after day after day after day. They don't have any say in the matter like a ship's crew working with a struggling vessel. They just finally learned to work together, lean on one another. Oh, they had their moments. They had their moments. Like when James and John are having a little tete-a-tete about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Oh, they had their moments, like Peter every now and then. He was just a tad like a show-off. "Lord, beckon to me and I'll come out there and walk on that water." And the pride he must have had when Jesus commended him, that he knew Jesus was the Son of the living God. Jesus had made friends with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus had made friends with all kinds of people that he had healed. Even the pagan woman that he had been asked to heal her child. And he said, "Wait a minute, I've come for the children of Israel." And she said, "But even the dogs get to gather the crumbs under the table." I could see him shaking his head, maybe even putting his hand over his heart. And going, "Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made your child well." And Zacchaeus, lying, cheating Zacchaeus, while Jesus saw something in him that nobody else had ever seen, he said, "I'm coming to your house today." And Jesus offered him salvation, and he restored what he had taken fourfold. Mary Magdalene, a common prostitute, was befriended by Jesus, as he saw that she did not have to travel down that path for the rest of her life, that she was redeemable. You and I are redeemable no matter how badly we feel about something that has happened or something we have said. We are redeemed in Christ. On and on the list goes. Whether in school or in the workplace, new surroundings can be challenging. They can be a bit scary. And we have to know that whether in the workplace or somewhere else, we are at risk of being rejected or bullied. The disciples didn't escape that either. Jesus sent them out, and he said this word: if you are not received in that village, you shake the dust off your feet and come on back home. Today is a new day of disciples and learners in the faith. But it's not enough to learn, as Jesus showed us in his model. It's not enough to learn and absorb. We must be messengers. Mary Magdalene gave the great news of Christ's resurrection. She was chosen by God, a woman with a colored past. But she was chosen by God to be the apostle to the apostles. What that tells me is no matter how much I've sinned, how much I've been forgiven, I am chosen by Jesus Christ to go out of these doors today and talk to whomever God puts in my path that they should know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And it is my prayer, God, give me the courage and the words and the spirit to do that. And that should be your prayer as well. What are we going to do if we don't do that? What is the church going to be if we don't be that? So we've been in school today. We've understood that we got to be open to learning a new routine. Even in the church. Because something's not quite working. But it doesn't have to stay that way. But it doesn't particularly begin with me. It begins with all of us. And we got to trust our leaders and our teachers, because God has allowed those persons to be in this moment and in this time in a position of leadership. The best thing we can do is pray. And the best we can do is support. We've got to be open to new experiences and new acquaintances. We just got to do it. It's great to be with family. It's great to be with familiar places and familiar faces. But we're not called to just stay in comfort mode. We're called to get out of our comfort zone and to bring others in that they may be comforted and the knowledge and salvation of Jesus Christ. How are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? Because you are a disciple. And you are an apostle. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful that you have given us the honored title of disciple and of apostle. We are so honored that you fill us with your spirit every day, and that we are vessels created to carry your spirit of love and grace and tolerance and justice. And we are so very grateful that we don't have to follow that path alone. So God, we pray, Jesus, be in our mouths, be in our ears, be in our hearts, be in our minds, be in our feet, be in our hands, that we may offer Christ to this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Before the band begins our closing song, I don't know if you noticed or not, but we have some new prayer rails. I don't know if you noticed or not, but this would be a great Sunday to try them out. to come forward and to pray. Don't you have a lot to pray for and to pray about this morning? Think about it. Pray about it. Let us be standing.
Ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, you will be praised, you will be praised. Ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips, your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
It's been a wonderful and joyous experience to be in worship today. I cannot think of any place I'd rather be than in worship with my church family and worship together for our nation, for this world, for our community of faith. So let us go forward now from these doors and remember the call of Jesus when he said, "Come, follow me." Think about who it is that you need to say those words to. Come, follow, and worship this Jesus that I know. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
step in the heart.